stop?
It did, and it's running again.
Perfect.
Yep.
But then again, it's your interview. Don't let me shape or color your.
Oh, you're not. This is truly how I feel.
All right, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one I just threw on here is within the data that you've collected, have you found any interesting trends?
So one of the analyses that we've set up is that we have a series of queries that we use to analyze user accounts. So for example, how many tweets have they been sending? So you may find that a Twitter account is, you know, maybe there's a tweet sent out once a day or once a week or, you know, just a few times. And then all of a sudden you may find that that account is sending out hundreds a day. So those are the types of changes that we look for. And we have some various types of very specific analyses that we look for. So how often, how new is the account, et cetera. And we've been able to essentially program all those. We've been able to program using SQL and Grafana to query all that information out of our Twitter data. And we have been identifying what we do believe to be some suspicious accounts for some of the activity that we've been monitoring. Ukraine, for example, has been one of our big ones.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay, and while you're talking, I'm going to take some B-roll that we're going to get in a bit and like show the graphs and stuff.
Yeah.
So don't worry if you're looking at yourself and you're like, oh man, but anyway.
Yep.
Okay, you touched on this earlier, but I'm going to ask it more explicitly. Were there any unique challenges that your team encountered during this project? We can workshop that.
Yeah, let me.
Official answer.
Unique challenges. You know.
Like you talked about the nesting problem in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, that's a unique challenge.
Yeah, that is a unique challenge. Yeah, but as far as Meerschaum.
Well, not specifically Meerschaum. I just mean, problems that. And if you don't know anything off, we don't have to answer all the questions.
So, well, we haven't really solved it. And I don't know if I want to, I can talk about it.
Is it the duplicate data thing that Porter opened? Or something else?
I can talk about duplicate data.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, whenever you're pulling data from Twitter, how do you decide which data to pull?
So we are working on one data set pulling from Twitter, and we started noticing some duplicates, and we had to go in there and really kind of look at, were they duplicates and how are they duplicates? And it turned out that even though Meerschaum has some built-in tools to handle duplicate data records.
Yeah, like rows in a table.
Yeah. So even though Meerschaum has some tools to handle duplicate records in a data set, we were seeing duplicates showing up in our one particular database, or we were seeing duplicate records showing up in our one database. And so we were a little curious about that. We weren't quite understanding how we were getting those duplicate records. And as it turns out, what happens is that as tweets are replied and retweeted and things like that, even though there's, on the surface, they may look like the exact same tweet, we found out that there's slight variation. So for example, a retweet, if there's a difference in a retweet number, it actually got past the duplicate check. So even though the author, the text tweet, even dates and times seem like they're exactly the same, it turned out that it was just slight variations in the retweet count, for example, literally a difference of one. And that's why we were ending up with duplicate records. So we had to really think about that and get into and understand what was going on there. Some additional activities that we've been working on are, we want to start to deploy some machine learning tools or some advanced models on beyond what we're currently doing. Right now, some of our analyses are very SQL oriented, right? So we're looking at the number of days that this account has existed, or the number of tweets this user sends out on some kind of average time frame. But we want to deploy even more advanced tool sets, more advanced analyses. And one of the activities that we've currently really start to think about and focus on are, how do we deploy, say, a machine learning algorithm and then build that in as essentially a plugin in Meerschaum, and then run that also practically in real time in Meerschaum as we're pulling in the data. So even though we haven't solved that one yet, that's one of our challenges that we're looking forward to working on.
Sure, and then I'll probably cut this from the record, but in one of the things Porter asked is, he was asking about like derivative, child pipes,
yep,
different design patterns for
that. Right.
So even though he didn't show his cards as to what you were doing, I thought, they're doing something tricky over there. I don't know what it is. In fact, you touched on my next question is, what's in store? What are the next steps for this project?
So really the next steps, if we've really just been prototyping the tool, building out a framework where we can run SQL queries directly in real time against the database, visualize those results in Grafana. We've been doing some mapping also, looking at the spatial data that are associated with the tweets that come in. I mentioned those earlier, the user reported location and places. So we have all the tools that we need, and really where we want to go next is being able to use Grafana to send alerts when misinformation or disinformation campaigns are being identified. That is the ultimate goal. So the idea here is that we have a machine learning algorithm, or even one of our simple checks catches an account that is acting suspiciously, right? So maybe it's amplifying something about Ukraine, and it fails certain flag checks. With Grafana, if it fails those flag checks, we can have Grafana start to send us notifications. And that allows us to kind of jump in on this particular conversation, see the users that are engaged on this conversation, and then begin to look at it. Is this a real coordinated disinformation campaign? Is this just normal conversation of people discussing a hot topic item? And being able to essentially jump in on these conversations before they go viral.
All right. That's all the questions I have written. I'm going to ask the first ones again, since we were still finding our footing there.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. White?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out. I'm excited to talk with you. Okay, sorry.
That's all right.
Could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Media Forensics Hub?
Bennett, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to talking to you about this. So, introduce myself, Dr. David White. I am a research professor here at Clemson University. I work in Parks, Recreation, Tourism Management. I'm a GIS specialist. And I'm also a research associate here at the Watt Family Innovation Center.
Perfect. See, that's a good soundbite.
Yeah.
That's good. And tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Media Forensics Hub. In a nutshell, what is the Media Forensics Hub?
So I'm a research associate within the Watt. I'm a research associate here in the hub. So in my support role of research here at the Watt Center, I'm specifically right now, in my research associate role here at the Watt Center, my job, my role in the Media Forensics Hub is to support various research activities, such as geospatial analyses, mapping, and real-time data analysis.
Sure. And then one final question, then we'll wrap it up. And then we'll move on to B-roll, I mean. What's the story behind the Media Forensics Hub, and what is the motivation for monitoring Twitter in real time?
So the story behind the Media Forensics Hub is that... How much detail you want me going into?
Just real short. You don't need to talk too much about it. Remember, the video is about the cool stuff you talked about at the end.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the background.
So the Media Forensics Hub is to promote multidisciplinary research with direct... Hang on. I don't think I want to read that.
Then don't read it.
Basically, the Media Forensics Hub, we're focused on building interdisciplinary teams focused on research and education, on the analysis of mis- and disinformation campaigns in social media.
Sure. And then here's my final thing, because this is such a good segue, because it was in your slides, that's why I bring it up.
Yeah.
Why specifically real time and not just looking at historical data?
So I think what we find in much of the research that is being conducted on social media, specifically focused on mis- and disinformation campaigns, is it tends to be historical, looking back, right? So for example, as a researcher, which I've done myself, I will access the Twitter API and pull, say, a million records, and then start to filter those records for the various information that I'm after, and then further that activity in more sophisticated analyses. What we want to do is we want to essentially take that process of looking back and identifying mis- and disinformation campaigns and be able to look at data as it's streaming into a data system and being able to analyze that in real time and analyzing those mis- and disinformation campaigns, those conversations that maybe are being driven by bots, for example, rather than looking at them historically, but being able to identify them right at the beginning of those campaigns. What we find is that, for example, Twitter can go in and look at all of their data and start and pass their algorithms through all of the data that they have. Oh my God.
Well.
Yeah, I'm going off the deep end there.
No, I think you're going in little circles.
Yeah.
What I'm teasing out is, you talked a lot about historical data and how
right.
It's usually the status quo.
Yeah.
But why do we want to catch it in the beginning? Like, why is it important that we know right now there's bots tweeting rather than there was a bot tweeting a year ago?
So one of the things that we can do when we identify mis- and disinformation campaigns is report those back to Twitter. And then Twitter can make decisions of whether or not they agree with our assessment. And if they do agree with the assessment, they may choose to shut those mis- and disinformation campaigns down.
Okay. See, I actually didn't even know that. So you are feeding back.
Not me personally, but Patrick and Darren can send Twitter suspicious activity accounts. And then Twitter can look at those and decide whether or not to shut them down.
Okay. That's really unique. I feel like that's half research, half proactive. Like it's not observational, you're feeding back into the system.
Yeah. Potentially, yeah. Absolutely.
It's to be honest, it's kind of like the Medicis thing about feeding back into the but anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all the questions I have for now. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Wood. I look forward to seeing what the Media Forensics Hub comes up with next.
Thank you, Bennett. Appreciate your time.
Sure. Well, I'll cut the camera there. I told you it wouldn't be too long.
Oh, I wasn't worried about length.